You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
All right, guys, it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you all who are fathers or will be fathers-to-be. This has been a rough week for me preparing the sermon because it's on leaving a legacy. It's been hard because I don't know how you moms feel on Mother's Day. We sure do love you moms. We really do. And I mean, you guys are the best gift that God ever gave us guys outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father's Day is difficult for some of us because, well, we see all the imperfections that we are as dads. Does that make sense to y'all? So as I'm preparing this sermon the whole week, I'm thinking about leaving a legacy for the kids and all that, and that's what we're going to talk about. But I kept seeing all of the missteps, the problems, my faults. It just wasn't a good week for me in preparing the sermon. So I want you to know that as I'm preaching this sermon to you guys, man, I've preached this to myself over and over and over the whole part of this week. And I want you to know it's heartfelt, and it's from our Lord Jesus Christ. It's from our Heavenly Father who loves us. And a lot of times we forget that it is God the Father who gave us men here on earth our role model for who we're supposed to be in our families' lives. So with that, let me pray and let's get started. Father, I do thank you so much for your message that you've given us today. Pray that you would find soft spots in our hearts that you'll be able to water it, grow it, and bring it to fruition in our lives. Father, we give you the honor and glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Talking about leaving a legacy. I think deep down, everyone wants to leave a legacy. They want, after we're dead, after we're gone, for people to look back at us and look at us with good light. I was at a convention on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then I just had a couple of really cool days, Thursday and Friday, with an old friend of mine. Name is Terry Hill. Terry was our pastor in Anchorage, Alaska, and now he's a pastor in Gatesville, Texas. And Terry and I are just good old buddies. And we kind of worked through this sermon a little bit this week. And so I'm going to give him a lot of credit because he's one of my spiritual fathers. And I want you to know that it's just been a really growth experience for me over the last few days. The Bible has a lot to say about leaving your legacy. Proverbs 13:22 says a good life gets passed on to the grandchildren. I always wondered about that because it's not just your children. And I'm getting to the point where I'm almost ready to have grandkids. I've got grand dogs and grand cats and some of those things, but I'm about ready maybe in the next couple of years to have grandchildren. It's funny they says a good life gets passed down, not just to the kids. I mean, we would always think that. It goes another step, goes another layer, goes all the way to the grandkids. Psalm 112:6, a righteous man will be remembered forever. All right, here's the question. How do you do that? How do you leave a lasting legacy for your kids, for your grandkids, for your great-grandchildren? In working through this sermon this week with Terry Hill, we came up with four areas. You guys ready for them? Four areas. To leave a legacy, there are four qualities that we need to find in us men if we're going to leave a legacy. Number one, we got to speak with integrity. We got to say the things that we mean, that we're going to stand by it. Number two, we got to serve with intensity. Three, we got to give with generosity. And number four, we got to succeed with humility. How's that? 4-point sermon. Usually it's a 3-point sermon. You don't have to pay any extra today for the fourth point. But it's a good, this will be good for you guys. Oh, it's just torn me up all week. So I'm anxious to preach this to you. Number one, you guys ready? Speak with integrity. Speak with integrity. For the past 30 or 40 years, they've had a magazine has had the most admired people in the United States. You guys know that? Have you heard of these things? Politicians come and go, sports figures come and go, educators, you know, all these big people, they come and go. There's been one name that's been on the last 30 or 35 of these most admired lists. You guys know who it is? He just died a couple of months ago. Billy Graham. Billy Graham. The most admired. No matter what happens, oh, you can rise one day, you can fall the next, but not Billy Graham. The most admired. What is integrity? What does that mean? Integrity is composed of three different things. This is what we came up with. It's telling the truth, it's keeping your word, and it's practicing what you say you believe. Now, you that are in the South, what's that last thing? Practicing what you preach. Practicing what you preach. I remember when I was, it's probably been 8 years ago, 10 years ago. Our oldest son, Rick, he challenged me one day because he said, "Dad, you're a hypocrite." Oh, I still remember this. Oh, it breaks my heart. I said, "What? What are you talking about?" Because I thrive on telling the truth and doing the right thing. And he said, "Well, Dad, you always tell us to clean up our rooms and do all these things. And then you leave your stuff around the chair." You know, every dad has a good chair, right? "And the magazines are there and your cup is there and all that." What was my first response? "Well, son, I have a good reason. I mean, I need to have things at my arm's length and so forth." And it just broke me. It's one thing to concentrate on big areas of your life so that people can see how good you are. But he was pinpointing little small things that to me, I didn't even knew mattered, but they mattered to him. You got to tell the truth. You got to keep your word. You got to practice what you preach. If you want to be a person of integrity, you've got to do these things. Proverbs 17:7 says, "Respected people do not tell lies." They tell the truth. All leadership is built on telling the truth. It's built on trust, which is telling the truth. Why is it that when we look at our society today, we see a lot of untruthful people out there? Are they going to leave a good legacy? I don't think so. I want to leave a good legacy with my children and my grandchildren. If you want to build a lasting legacy, the starting point is rock-ribbed integrity. Tell the truth. Be honest. Do the things that you say you'll do. Practice what you preach. Proverbs 25:14 says, "People who promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain." You remember what it looked like yesterday? Not anything like it looked like today. I got to tell you, I drove from Dallas to El Paso yesterday morning, and I had to trade in one rental car to get another rental car. And I had a choice. So I chose the super small Mazda Miata. You guys with me? I'm hoping that Tim and I can go out for a drive in it sometime. I left El Paso, and instead of doing the interstate, I did right down on the border. I mean, right down on it. You know, there's a road that you can step across the border. They have the little barricades and stuff. There's two or three places. I mean, you're right there. I had to put the top up and down half a dozen times because the rain. Sometimes here comes the rain and I put the top up and you'd have to stop the car and hit a button and all this kind of stuff. It took some time to do this. Sometimes it looked like it was about to rain and I'd stop, put the top up, and then go for 5 or 6 miles and it's not going to rain. So I stopped and put the top down. It's playing with me. This thing's playing with me. There's nothing worse than expecting rain to come and it doesn't come. There's nothing worse than looking like you're full of integrity, but you're not. By the way, thank you, Lord, for rain yesterday. Amen. Wasn't that awesome? For you that are keeping track, during this whole trip, it got down to 52 degrees yesterday, going through Benson, when all that hail came up. We had to pull off to the side of the road and all that. 52 degrees in Arizona in June. Isn't that awesome? And then look what God gave us today. Woo, thank you, Lord. He's a good, good father. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. It's a good, good father. Have you ever failed to keep a promise? Here's some common unkept promises. Listen to this. I'll return it as soon as I'm done with it. Yeah. I won't tell anyone what you've told me. Uh-huh. Hey, the check's in the mail. I'll be home at 6, honey. By the way, with me, it's the office. I just got to stop in. Just give me a couple minutes in the office. And that takes 20 minutes. Oh, the kids love that one. We can play this weekend, son. What was that song? Cats in the Cradle. Who did that? Croce. Jim Croce? Yeah. We'll do it when things settle down. My favorite, look at that one on the bottom. Yeah. Yeah, my diet starts tomorrow. The number one cause of resentment in children, parents that don't keep their promises. Parents that don't keep their promises. Do you know how come that's so easy not to do? Because your kids love you. Man, am I speaking to myself right now? And how many times you say, I will do this, son, we will go here, we'll do that, whatever, and it doesn't work, and then you say, man, I am so sorry. And what do they say back? It's okay, Pop. It's all right. Oh. Is it easy to live with integrity? Absolutely not. It's pretty hard, especially in our day and age. Psalm 101, chapter 101, verse 2 says, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home, where I long to act as I should. Do you know that's in the scriptures? That's David speaking, oh, how I wish in my own home I had integrity. It's most difficult to live with integrity in the house. How come? Because they see you. They're with you 24/7, but they know you. They see your ups and downs. It's one thing to come to church and put it all on. One thing to go to the office, act like you got it together. But it's when you're in your home. I think my definition of success is, have I gained the respect of those who are nearest to me? Oh, it's easy to fool everybody some of the time, but not those in your house. This is an internal battle, guys. So first off, I want you to think about, we need to have integrity as men and women in the Lord. Number two, serve with intensity. It's one thing to speak with integrity. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Now serve with intensity. You know, they ask a bunch of kids, what would you like to do when you grow up? What do kids say nowadays? Fire chief, you know, firefighter, doctor, lawyer. Not anyone says preacher, by the way. Not anyone says servant. Anyone named Jeeves in here? You know, every servant in the movies, his name is Jeeves. If you call your kid Jeeves, you've pretty much locked in the rest of his life for him. What do you want to be when you grow up? No kid ever says, I want to be a servant. And yet that's exactly what Jesus said. If you want to be great, be a servant. Those who would be great need to be a servant first. Proverbs 14:22, you will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. If you work for good. Now the fact is that most of us don't work for good. The fact is, most of us, we work for our dreams, our ambitions, our goals, our stuff. We think about what we want. We're not thinking about the good of others. We're thinking about our retirement. We're thinking about taking care of ourselves. And yet that's not what Jesus said. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, wherever you work, do it all with your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. I want you to break down that verse. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. If you read that backwards, it says, don't work for men, work for the Lord. And in doing so, work with all your heart. That's what it says. And it's kind of hard to break that down. Doing all that work hard for yourself, it doesn't translate. It says, do your intensity, you're working hard, but you're working hard for the Lord. That lasts. My work doesn't last, but His work does. It goes to my children, it goes to my grandchildren, and so forth and so on. Be enthusiastic. Be eager to help other people. Be ready to serve. Serve with intensity in your heart. There's two ways to work. We work with our hands, or we're inspired with our heart, which influences our hands. What's the motivation behind it? We're doing this work for the Lord. We're serving the Lord. It's not our own stuff. It's the Lord's stuff. Church is going to be calling a new pastor, probably within a month or two. As we look at that, I want us all to come together as a family to work for Him. Not for our church, not for my little piece of the church, my pet ministry or my Sunday school class or whatever it is. We work for the Lord together as a unit. Amen? Not individually, but for the Lord collectively. I know that you guys work hard. I know that you're not slackers. So continue to work, but put the Lord first. The church will be split and divided if we work in the church for each of our own precious little priorities. We work for the Lord. Today's tragedy is that we're working a lot of things that are wasting our time. We work and it doesn't add to the eternal benefit. We work to get things, but it doesn't help us in the long run. Jesus warned us about this in John chapter 6. He said, don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. He's saying, don't waste your time and effort on things that don't matter. So, you see it up there, what's not going to last? Fame, status, pleasure, power, things. All those things have one thing in common. I'm in control of it. I can work my hands to the bone trying to get all those things. And if I achieve it, it's fleeting. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. What does last? Two things. Truth and people. Truth and people. Look at truth, Matthew 24:25. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word won't pass away. God's truth will never pass away. Also, Isaiah 48, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God, it abides forever. You want to say something that'll last forever? Don't just speak what you think. Speak what God thinks. In the lives of your kids, in the lives of your coworkers, that kind of stuff, that kind of truth, that lasts forever. Second thing is people. You guys know this verse, right? John 3:16. God so loved the world that whoever believes, not perish, have eternal life. People last forever. Even when we die, we go to heaven or hell based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Make an investment. Leave your legacy toward things that matter. In the end, I'm sure we can work hard and have a nice big house and leave our kids with thousands and thousands of dollars and so forth and so on. But in the end, all that passes away. What does last is truth and people. Quick question. Quiz. Who won the Nobel Prize last year? Who was the head coach of Arizona football 20 years ago? Now, there might be someone that knows that one. Dick Tomey? Who won the Super Bowl last year? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? You guys getting the point? Second quiz. Tell me the teacher that meant the most to you when you were growing up. Do you remember who that was? Do you remember what she or he did for you? Do you remember how they made you feel? Remember how they taught you? Can you tell me about someone that put their arm around you and loved you in a difficult time? I bet you can. But we don't know who won the Super Bowl 5 years ago, do we? Fame, power, all that stuff fades. Eternally, though, people and truth last forever. If you want to leave a legacy, you've got to love on people. Number three, give with generosity. Give with generosity. 2 Corinthians 9:9 says, godly people give generously. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. And Psalm 112:9 says, he who gives generously to the needy and shows kindness will be powerful and respected. We just talked about giving last week, that you give unto the Lord. And I've already heard a couple of good testimonies this morning. Next week, we'll be talking about giving again, and you'll have some time to have testimonies before the start of service next week. You guys remember a guy? I'm going to see if you know who this is. His name is Andrew Carnegie. Have you guys ever heard of that name? What do you know about Andrew Carnegie? Let's see, Carnegie Mellon, right? Carnegie Hall. Anything else?
Library.
Carnegie Institute, yeah, of course. Why do we know about him? Because he worked really hard all of his life? No. It's because he invested in others. He gave generously. When he was a young man, about 19 years old, he wrote out on a piece of paper something that he kept until his dying day that no one knew until after he died. You know what it said? For the first part of my life, I will make all the money I possibly can. For the second part of my life, I will give it all away. And he did. By the way, if he had kept all that stuff, would we be talking about Carnegie today? Nope, we wouldn't. Lasting things. Some of you are saying, man, that's a great idea. I'll work the first part of my life really hard and make a bunch of money and then give it all away. Well, my simple question is, do you know when your half point of your life is? Start working today for the Lord. Start giving it away today. Be generous. Why be generous? Couple things. God wants you to be generous because he wants you to become like him. He wants you to become like him. Second, you're not going to take it with you. You're not going to take it with you. This week, I started following a program. It's on Fox Business. It's called something Strange Inheritances. Strange Inheritances. Have you guys watched this thing? It's people that die and leave their legacy to the next of kin. And it's crazy, like a guy with 1,000 cars and all this kind of stuff. And the one thing that the gal says at the end, no matter how crazy the inheritance was, she ends the program every week and says, remember, you can't take it with you when you die. You got to give it away. I guess you don't have to give it away. You can keep it, and then it'll be taken from you. It's your choice. I think that there's three kinds of givers. You guys ready for this? There's flintlock givers. You guys know what flintlock is? Hard, crusty rock. You take a hammer to it. You got to strike it, and it sparks. And I mean, it's like, it's hard. Then I think that there's sponge givers. What are sponge givers? And you got to squeeze that out. What's the old saying, blood out of a turnip? You got to work hard. Please. Oh. And then there's honeycomb. Honeycomb givers. Oh, don't you love honey? So sweet. drips. It oozes. It's gooey. Everyone loves it. By the way, it's helpful too. Keeps you from being sick. Keeps you from diseases and so forth. Be a honeycomb giver. Bob Hope once said, if you have no generosity in your heart, you are the worst kind of, you have the worst kind of heart disease. You have no generosity in your heart. That great theologian, Bob Hope. All right. Good job, you guys. One more point. You ready for it? Succeed with humility. Succeed with humility. Proverbs 29:23 says, arrogance will bring your downfall, but if you're humble, you'll be respected. You ever heard the saying, you got to stay humble or you'll stumble? You heard that? Write that down. That's pretty good. Got to stay humble or you'll stumble. Or have you heard the lesson of the whale? The lesson of the whale is when you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they'll harpoon you. Right there. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, better watch out. Someday your most successful day is your most dangerous day because you start taking credit. How does God test our humility? How does God test our humility? There's two ways. One is through praise, and one's through our mistakes. With praise, it's a real test of our character. Every time you're complimented, this is a test for you. Are you prideful? The human species is the only animal that when you pat it on its back, its head swells up. You know that? It's true. Yeah. How are you with taking praise? Treat praise as you treat criticism. Ultimately, it doesn't matter what people think of you, except the Lord. Go back about 10 minutes when I said, remember this? Do everything as unto the Lord. Work as unto the Lord. He is who you're working for. He is who you're serving, not each other. Second thing is mistakes. God uses mistakes to test our humility. Proverbs 13:18 says, someone who will not learn will be poor and disgraced. Anyone who listens to correction is respected. You don't have to know it all to be respected. You just have to admit that you don't know it all. Humor, the word humor, and the word humility both have the same root. It means laughter. It's funny. Can you laugh at yourself? Or do you take things so seriously that you can't? By the way, your family knows you. They know all your weaknesses. They know your faults. Can you laugh at yourself? Can you laugh at your flaws and faults and then get better? What I'm saying is worry about your character first and not your image. We spend so much time with what other people see, we're scared to death. 1 Peter 5:5 says, all of you clothe yourselves in humility toward one another because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Man, I've preached this to myself 20 times over the last 4 or 5 days. It sounds good today. It fills me with the desire to follow God, to take myself, my selfish pride, out and replace it with his goodness and his grace. Makes me want to leave a legacy for my children that me on my own, I could never do. I want to serve him. I want to speak with integrity. I want to give generously. I want to succeed with humility. I want to do all these things because they honor God. Guys, dads, don't you want to do that too? I think that if you practice these things, you're going to be more toward who God the Father is to us as you will be toward your kids and those around you. I don't think that there's a better way to leave a legacy than in drawing people closer to God. Again, whether they're in your family or those that you work with or go to school with, those who you worship with. So be thinking this week about, are there times that I'm selfish in what I'm working for Have I put other priorities in my life ahead of my relationship, my walk with God? And replace that with humility. Ask God to make you a man or woman of integrity and do the right thing, even in your house. Amen? And guys, that's to me, man. I'm talking to me. We're all in this together. Amen? Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your message. And Lord, thank you for the example that you've given us, the picture that you've given us, the love that you've shown us is what we should show others, especially those in our direct family. Father, we ask that you give us opportunities this week that we can trust you in living this out, that we can speak with integrity, that we can serve with intensity, that we can give with generosity, that we can succeed in humility. Because you love us and we love you and we are walking with you. We've aligned ourselves with your will. Father, we love you. Bless us now in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.